We are just so blessed that you guys are all here tonight. And to start things off, we just wanted to open up with a time of worship. So if anyone could just bow their heads so we can pray our way into this evening. Father God, we just we thank you so much for who you are. And Lord, we praise you for the fact that this week we get to remember that you gave your son for us, Lord. And that he took all of our sins and everything with him on the cross, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that tonight that we would just worship you with everything that we have, Lord. And that we would just remember you, remember your son and his sacrifice, Lord. And we just pray that we would bring you all the praise and all the glory. And we pray this in your son's precious and holy name. Amen. So if you could just stand with us in worship.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening,
everybody. All right, so we got one more day of the week left. So everybody started dieting, making room for all the candy and all the goodies and the ham. All righty then, we got a live room tonight, right on. Everybody eat a lot for dinner tonight? Everybody ready for a nap? Is that what's going on? Dude, it's been a brutal week. I hear you. All right, well, let's just kind of open our hearts up. We're here tonight to worship the Lord. We're here to watch our kids and, you know, our family, you know, get up here and worship the Lord. So let's just kind of open ourselves up, you know, try and embrace it, and you know, just kind of fill this house up, you know, with the spirit that we need to. And the best way to do this is with a little bit of song. So we're gonna lead off here with Jesus Messiah.
Verses 12 through 26. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there.'" The disciples left, went into the city, and found the things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man that betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
One of the things in Jewish tradition, which is one of the most important evenings of their existence, is the celebration of a Seder meal. On this night, the theme is to remember about God's redemption and what the Lord did for the Jewish people and the Israelites when they were in bondage to the Egyptians. And several times, all except for a little point in history, did the Jewish people celebrate this time and time again. And on this night, it was even more special, as the Jewish people were celebrating, and the next day the Passover lamb, which was important for every year to remind her of God having the angel death pass by. That was going to happen a day later, but they had this part of the Seder meal, or what we call as Pesach or Passover. And Jesus sat down, and as was read to us by Madison, he was excited and said, "Hey, I've longed to really celebrate this with you." And so they made preparations in an upper room, and then they met together, and with his disciples, it says, after the supper was over, because they had a big meal. It's one of the good things about faith. God likes food. And we know that from the beginning all the way through the end of the scripture. We know that when we get to heaven, there's a big banquet table, so God likes food, and I'm excited about that. There's always a meal involved. And after this meal that had different symbolism within it, it says he took the bread and he gave it to his disciples after he blessed it, saying, "Blessed are you, Lord God, creator, ruler, sovereign of the universe, that gives us grain from the field that we may have bread to eat." It was a consistent liturgy that was given from the beginning, from the time of Moses. And then he broke it. And what we learn from the Seder meal is that there is the part of breaking the bread occurs in a part called the Afrikamen. And this is a part in the Seder meal where they break the bread, and what they do is they go ahead and they hide it. They have a little thing that they put it in, they go hide it. Jesus didn't hide it this time. But in turn, he took it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat from this. This is my body, which is broken for you." Afrikamen means "I have come." After the supper was over, there's a lot of different cups. They even have one cup for Elijah. Everybody leaves a seat for Elijah at a table just in case Elijah stops by. And the youngest one always has to answer some of the questions. That would have been John in this deal. But then he took the cup. And many people believe at this time, many scholars believe it's the cup of redemption, which was one of the symbols at this time. And so Jesus, once again, following the liturgy from the time of Moses, again once said, "Blessed are you, Lord God, creator, ruler, sovereign of the universe, that gives us fruit of the vine that we may have drink." And again, he began to go ahead and he began to pass it around to his disciples. And they were used to this. They had done this for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, he says, "Wait a second, I got to add something else. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you can in remembrance of me." Can you imagine the disciples probably thought a couple different things? He messed it up. He messed up what we're supposed to do. But then he began to share some other things about this whole service, about what was going to happen to him, as we're going to see that the young people tonight are going to go ahead and reveal even more to us, more real. And so what we recognize is when we put these two things together, when we put the breaking of the bread, which in the Seder meal is called the Afrikamen, when we put that together with the cup of redemption, recognizing that the remembering what God had done for them, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me and what I am doing for you." What is he really doing? He's doing what he came to do. "I have come to redeem you." And in his brokenness, knowing just a few hours later what would happen, and that we're going to recognize tomorrow night and tonight in our Good Friday service as well. It's without this night and without Good Friday, we have no Easter Sunday celebration. And if we have no good Easter Sunday celebration, we have no eternal life and forgiveness through Christ. But we're thankful that he recognized that he had come to redeem us. So tonight we're going to go ahead and celebrate communion, and I'm going to ask, I know we have some servers, that if the servers would come up, come forward. And I'm going to serve them first. Okay. We have three stations set up this evening. And what we're going to ask is that as you come, if you'll come from this side, from the back, up this way, and return. And if you come down the middle on this side, you can also come down here. We're going to ask that you come down this way and go that way. So the side, even in the middle, if you all come down this way, we're going to ask if you guys come down and return this way. That way we'll stop from knocking into people. So this aisle down here for that group, this aisle down here, everybody coming from the back and down. Please come. This is the table of the Lord. A lot of times in communion, one of the things that I see is people say, oh, okay, it's a break. But this isn't a break. This is a part of worship. This is where Christ, we don't understand how this works fully. We've got a lot of smart theologians that think they figured it out. We have some that think it actually becomes the body and the blood of Christ. We have others that think it's a symbol. But what we do recognize is the presence of Christ meets us in this act. So it's a time where we're getting to meet Jesus and really connect with him. And what he did for us, coming to redeem us. So right now, I just ask that you feel led to come from the back forward. Please come to the table of the Lord. Is that after disciples celebrated communion, it says they sang a song and they gave an offering to the Lord. And I believe that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to give an offering to the Lord and sing a song. And then we'll head to Gethsemane.
Crucified my Lord, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid his precious body in the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? And were you there when he rose from the grave? Were you there when my Jesus, he rose from the grave? Oh, 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 sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when he rose from the grave?
Matthew 26:14-16 and 47-50. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him.
"I am Judas. 30 pieces of silver. That's the price that I put on the Son of God's head. Seems like easy money at the time. He encouraged a life of easy living and faith, not worrying what to wear, what to eat, but just to live in the moment and know that your Father would provide." "30 pieces of silver. That's the price that I put on God's Son. After all, I've seen him do miracles. I thought that him being arrested would be impossible." They took him. They stripped him of his clothes and whipped him till the flesh began to peel from his bones. It was from me. How could I have been so stupid?
Isaiah 53:7-9. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth.
I am Pilate. And many times today I have washed my hands, yet I still don't feel clean. My wife warned me, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." How could the people cry for the release of a known criminal yet sentence an innocent man to death. How? He was murdered by men who think themselves too holy, too religious to be challenged. Yet the people seem to agree, despite the fact that I was told it was just days earlier that they welcomed him into the city as a king, laying their clothes on the dirt road, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." How could they do this? Why did they bring him to me? I wanted to vindicate him, but they were adamant that this man be killed for no just cause. The hearts of men are indeed desperately wicked. I can't shake the feeling that there was more that I could do for him.
Matthew 27, verse 32. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross.
When I left my home this morning, I never could have imagined this day, being forced to bear the cross of a criminal. But there was something different about this man. For the punishment he was given, he must have broken the law, something so terrible and worthy of death. But why did he look so innocent? Something doesn't seem right about this. Everybody's tight-lipped and keeping their comments to themselves. Why all this secrecy? Why was this man so badly beaten and bruised that he couldn't carry his own cross? Why did I have to bear the cross of a criminal?
Some say it rains. I don't know if it's true.
John 15:23-25. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is said, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason.
I'm the high priest. Who did he think he was? Eventually, his words and actions would have condemned him. We are the righteous people of this land. We follow the law to the letter, and yet he dares call us a generation of vipers. He ate and drank with sinners. He's no better than any of them. He was in the company of the unclean and called himself righteous. He visited the homes of adulterers and thieves and told them that their sins had been forgiven. He broke the Sabbath and defiled God's holy temple with his heresy. He was such a rebel. So what if he did a few tricks, like making the blind see and the deaf hear? So what if he brought a man back to life and turned water into wine? He's dying on the cross and should have been dead by now. What kind of savior can save others but can't save himself? He wasn't the one they were waiting for.
Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed.
I was given the honor to be the mother of the Son of God. I watched him grow from a baby and a boy to a man. I'm a proud mother. He did no wrong. He committed no sin. He spoke the truth. Now he's dead. They killed him. I watched because I could not believe that he would die. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he did not. He had power over death. Still, he died. I did not think the day would end like this. I expected so much more. I knew this day would come, just not so soon. I grieve as a mother grieves for her son. God help me. Still, I know why he did it. He did it for everyone. I hope my son did not die in vain. He didn't deserve to die. He helped everyone. Good, bad, the ungrateful ones. He didn't deserve to suffer so cruelly, to die such a horrible death. And I felt his pain. Every nail, every inch of the sword they put into his side. I pity the soldiers who laughed at his suffering. They failed to see that it was for them he died. It was for all of them. Today, an innocent man was killed like a common criminal because it was his duty to take on the sins of the world and bring them to the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." He gave his life willingly.
Lane. Mary, did you know that your baby boy, Lord of all creation, Mary, did you
Mark 14:27-31. You will all fall away, Jesus told them, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Before I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. I truly, truly I tell you, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same.
I thought I was his favorite. I was willing to die for this man, to put my life on the line for him and all he represents. He taught me that the greatest love we can have for each other is willingness to lay down our life for our friends. You can imagine my surprise when he told me that I would deny him three times before the sunrise. Impossible. But he knew the future. He wrote it. He forgave me for something before I even did it. I don't understand how he knew I could deny someone I love so much. When they took him away, I followed at a distance. I did not want to be seen. I was afraid that would share his fate. I wanted to know where they took him. And if I declared myself a disciple, I would have to run and hide like the others, and I would not get to see him. I had to deny him. I didn't realize that I had spent so much time, enough time, that I would be like him. I stood out in the crowd. Three times they asked me if I was his disciple. I said, I do not know this man. Three times, just like he said. I just wanted to be with him and to see him one last time. Now he is dead. And I didn't even get to say I'm sorry.
Philippians 2, verses 8 through 11. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
If you could just join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you that the story doesn't end here, Lord. Lord, that you went to the cross, Lord, but you were resurrected. And God, that means so much to us, Lord God, that this weekend we can remember that we have new beginnings, that we have new life, Lord, and that all the sins of our past, Lord God, that they don't control us, that they don't have a hold on us anymore, Lord, because we can have a relationship with your Son and with you. And so, Lord God, as we leave this place, as we go throughout this Easter weekend, Lord God, we pray that you would just awaken our hearts to what it's really about, Lord God, that you would just awaken our hearts to the things that you are doing in our community, in our church, Lord God, and that you could just continue to transform us, Lord God, and make us more into the image of your Son. We pray this all in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
All right, as you leave this evening, thanks to Jeannie and Gail and everybody and all the kids who did this. They did a great job. And remember, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, again, it'll be a solemn-oriented service, just recognizing Christ's death on the cross. And then after that, please remember our sunrise service. And then you can take your choice of 8:15. The sunrise service is at 6:30. That's all written on the back. And then 8:15 and 10:15 are your choices on Sunday for regular worship. Okay? Have a blessed evening.